Romans chapter 15, starting at verse 5. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Jesus Christ, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, as Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to start the summary series on the book of Joshua. And if you've ever wanted a second chance, the book of Joshua is for you. Though the Israelites failed to enter the promised land, the first time God provided them with the opportunity, and though they wasted 40 years, maybe 37, for their failure, God gave them a second chance. And what they did with it is inspiring for all of us. As we go through the book of Joshua, we'll also find out that it's more than just about Joshua. It's about the people of God. And if you've ever faced a daunting task, as I mentioned to Sam, Joshua is for you. The corruption and the violence of the Canaanites had brought the judgment of God upon them, but they were not going to go without a fight. And how God acted in and through the people of Israel reminds us that he's involved in our lives, even during the hardest times. And for these reasons and more, I'm excited to begin this summer series, Joshua, the Journey of a Faith Walker. We all come to situations where we come to the end of ourselves and must walk by faith. You'll have the occasional reprieve from me during the summer, but we'll tackle this magnificent book together. Hopefully, we're going to conclude on the Sunday of Labor Day weekend, unless we miss for snow or anything like that. Like Joshua, we don't know what will happen in our lives in the coming months. But we do know God will be with us. One of a pastor's great responsibilities is to teach and know the Bible. This book is timeless. It teaches a wisdom that never grows old. And today, you'll see how a story from 3,400 years ago has tremendous relevance and insight for our lives today. Now, no matter how hard I try, no pastor can provide all the guidance from the Word of God that each member needs. Let me put it this way. Many of you, I'm sure, see a dentist twice a year. But I suspect, in fact, I hope, you floss and brush between them. Why? Because you care about your oral health. If oral health requires the daily discipline of brushing and flossing, how much more is it important to ensure spiritual health, to strengthen our relationship with God, by studying the Bible daily? Now that can seem daunting. The Bible's a big book, written long ago, set in a culture different than ours. That's the hard part. The good news is that the Bible is the written Word of God, inspired by God. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth, reminding us of what he said. Anytime we approach the Bible with an attitude of that says, Lord, I want to hear from you, God is present in the process. He delights to answer that prayer. The Bible rewards prayerful study. You've got to put in the good faith effort to understand it, but treasures abound. Most mornings, Carol and I either open up that little devotional magazine, Our Daily Bread, that's on the tables in the fellowship hall for you to take home for free, or we go to the website, odb.org, ourdailybread.org, and we listen to the lesson read for us. That's not the personal time we each spend with God, but above and beyond the wisdom we find in the daily bread, we also know that we're literally on the same page with many of you, and that's a beautiful thing. But our daily bread's lessons bounce all over the Bible. And knowing the flow of whole books can only be found by going through it. So it's important to know that as we do this study of the book of Joshua, we're going to use a process that you can use in your own individual study. Each week of this 10-week study, there'll be breaks when I'm away, you will notice this three-step process. First, we'll identify the current issue. You can find this by asking, what's this passage talking about? What's the current issue? The topic of the passage might be a straight-out teaching. You find that in the letters of the New Testament. But that won't be true in a historic book like Joshua. When you read in the Bible about something that happened, it's never just an event. You should ask, why is this included in the Holy Scriptures? We've already mentioned that the book of Joshua is about second chances and overcoming overwhelming odds. And that's true of the whole book. But we will find that sections and chapters of the book have specific topics that relate to our daily lives. So you're looking to read a passage, you begin by identifying the current issue. The second step is to discover the eternal principles. What are transferable? What are the lessons to be found here? Whenever you look in the Bible, you will find transferable principles. Now, just because in our times we face situations, for instance, nuclear war, that never occurred in the Bible, it doesn't mean the Bible has nothing to say about the topic. In that case, for instance, issues such as taking care of the creation God has made us stewards over. That's certainly there. Not attacking the innocents, which would be murder. Seek peace and pursue it. They're all very relevant to the issue of nuclear weapons. Not the whole of the story. After we discern what the author is talking about, and we find out what is being said about it, there's steps one and two, discovering these eternal principles. That's the second part. Key for you to be able to know and do the will of God in your life. Then third, applying our findings. As we go through the book of Joshua, we will consider together, and we'll each be considering on our own, how to apply what we found there. Good guidance for the process. How will what you've come to believe impact the living of your life? We are saved by faith, not by works, but we prove our faith in our actions. You know, you can't read the Gospels of Jesus honestly and not see that Jesus values integrity and consistency very highly. So let's begin applying this system to today's passage. It's Joshua chapter 1, the first 7 verses, and then verses 9 and 18. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea in the west, shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. Then verse 9, I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then verse 18, whoever rebels against your orders and disobeys your words, whatever you command shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So identifying the current issue here, Moses is dead. The people of Israel are standing on the banks of the River Jordan, the border of the Promised Land, and they all are looking at Joshua. What do you do when faced with a daunting task? Do you avoid it? If I'm frank about my own personal issues, avoiding controversy, avoiding confrontation is a problem for me. One of the greatest challenges is to really face up to a daunting task. Such a task was now facing Joshua. 40 years earlier, he'd been a covert operator, kind of black ops, spying out the land of Canaan. Strong and warlike people defended the land. Just their imposing appearance had caused 10 other spies sent by Moses to cringe with fear. Joshua becoming the leader of Israel at this time makes me think of Harry Truman becoming president before World War II was finished. Joshua must have felt like an understudy in a play. When he shows up on stage, everyone's disappointed. Except maybe his mother. But as we study these verses, we will see in God's own words to Joshua, eternal principles to guide our actions when we face challenges that seem overwhelming. So, what are these eternal principles? First, live in the present, not in the past. Moses is dead, and God is not surprised. God knew it would happen, told Moses it would happen. Joshua being leader is not a mistake. Now, who could blame Joshua for feeling inferior? He needed to hear God say, "For years I've been preparing you for this moment. I saw great promise in you a long time ago. Quit comparing yourself to Moses. Live in the present, not in the past." There's a verb in our language that entered vocabulary about 30 years ago. To MacGyver. Based on the original TV series, it came to mean using resources at hand to accomplish a necessary task. I actually read a book called What Would MacGyver Do? And my favorite was when three buddies went backpacking together and discovered they had coffee, but no way to brew it. Now, I don't know why they had a coat hanger, but they had a coat hanger. And they had a clean sock. Can you see where this is going? They might have wished for a paper filter, but they didn't have one. They made coffee, and they said it was fine. Like Joshua, they had to use what they had. Joshua might have wished Moses was in charge, but Moses wasn't coming. The first principle when we face daunting tasks is to live in the present and use what you have. Francesca Battistelli is an artist who sings a very popular song on Christian radio. It's called The Breakup Song, but you might recognize it more by its lyrics. Have you got this, Sarah? Okay. Here we go, high tech.
Fear you don't own me. There ain't no room in this story. And I ain't got time for you telling me what I'm not. Like you know me. Well, guess what?
Sarah asked me if I was going to sing that one. I said, no. We all make mistakes, and there will always be things we wish we hadn't done. But not only shouldn't we live in the past, we physically cannot live in the past. The only place to live is in the present. Don't let regrets of the past or nostalgic longing for the glory days of the past interfere with what God has for you in this present moment. He is here with you in it now, just as he was with Joshua. Second principle from these passages, affirm the presence of God in your circumstances. God said, no one will be able to stand against you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. It wasn't Moses that had been the big deal. It was God in Moses that was the big deal. Joan read for us from Romans. The Christian church was started there by Jews who made their home in Rome, but had traveled to Jerusalem for the Jewish holiday Pentecost 50 days after Jesus had risen from the dead. They had witnessed the miracle of that first Pentecost. Having been among the 3,000 baptized that day, they came home themselves filled with God's Holy Spirit. The hope and new life that they found quickly took root in many believers. But they lived in the home of Roman power, Roman immorality, Roman paganism. Paul wanted to encourage them. We heard his words. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Like Moses, like Joshua, every Old Testament hero you read about, every New Testament hero except Jesus, was a human being just like you and nothing more. Men and women, they come in all shapes and sizes. They come from different countries even. The difference is the presence of God at work in their lives. And he offers that to you. God is the great difference maker. His presence makes the difference in helping people accomplish otherwise impossible tasks. A shepherd boy named David faced and defeated a giant because God was with him. Daniel was safe among ferocious lions because God was with him. Three young Jewish captives in Babylon survived a fiery furnace because God walked through the fire with them. And what was Jesus' promise to every person who would come and follow him? I will be with you always to the end of the age. Rely on God's power is the third principle. Not on your own strength. Rely on God's power to fulfill his commands. Joshua was in alliance with the ultimate superpower, God. God who said, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. We need to understand that our strength comes from God, who never faints, never grows weary. Throughout Scripture, we are commanded, as Joshua was, be strong and courageous. Now, that's an impossible command to obey unless God puts his strength in us. But God has tipped the scales in favor of us weak and timid people. We can try all we want, but we have not tapped all the strength that is available to us until we draw upon the Lord, the source of strength. Now, there's a key thing that's left dangling there is, well, I don't feel it. I don't feel it. How can I do it? I don't feel it. Well, the final eternal principle is moving forward in faith requires action. Verses 2 and 3 from Joshua says, I will give you every place where you set your foot. The promise is not for those who wait until God does something without them. The promise applies to people on the move. Think of Dunkirk in the Battle of Britain, when against all odds, the average everyday fishermen and pleasure boat owners worked together to evacuate the British army before the Nazis overran them. There was great cheering, but Winston Churchill said, "Wars are not won by evacuations." Yeah, he had a point. We too must move forward. We couldn't be satisfied with just getting out of there safely. So step one, the current issue is facing a daunting task. Step two, what are the eternal biblical principles that we learn here? Live in the present, not in the past. Affirm the presence of God in your circumstances. Rely on God's power to fulfill his commands. And then moving forward in faith requires action. We actually step forward. And that's when we find God at work. Step three, it depends on you. It's apply your findings. Apply it in your lives. You might face an individual daunting task. You might be in debt up to your eyeballs. You might have a relationship that's ready to fall apart. You might have a destructive habit you're trying to not admit is an addiction. Or maybe your body's betraying you. Maybe you're trying to save your business or keep a friend from falling apart. Have a daunting task. Well then, decide here and now to face your circumstances in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If you've never said it before and meant it, say in your heart, "Lord, forgive me for not bowing before you now, until now. Please take the throne of my heart. Sit on the throne of my heart and rule. Be my Savior. Be my Lord." The past is gone. God is present with you now in your present circumstances. You can be bold and courageous to fulfill God's commands because he has put his Holy Spirit in your heart. If you're saying that for the first time, I encourage you to find someone you trust, your relationship, who has ahead of you in the journey with Jesus. And if you don't know one for sure, there'll be somebody waiting in our prayer corner in the back to pray with you after service. You can be bold and courageous because he's put his Holy Spirit in your heart. You know, then you're almost there. Move forward in faith. Do the one thing that's necessary today. Leave to God the future. As he was with Moses, as he was with Joshua, he will be with you. And that is true for us as a church. There is a new day ahead of us. This church, for the past generation, had to be different than it was for generations before, under the leadership of Pastor Phil Jackson or Reverend Higham before him. None of them could lead the way Gad Hitchcock led in the days of the Revolutionary War. We need to seek together to be God's people on the crest of Hanson's Hill in this time for his purposes. Not a time for inaction. Let's go forward together. Shall we pray? Lord, how we thank you that even with a daunting task ahead of us, you are with us. You promise to make your will known and to be with us as we walk in obedience. So help us, Lord. Help us in each step of that to seek you. Together, as a church, but also individually. Being your witnesses in this world. In the family gatherings, in the community times, in work relationships, so many different ways. Lord, be our guidance and strength. And thank you that as you were with Moses and as you were with Joshua, you will be with us. We give you praise and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We approach